Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day.
Show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down. Down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way. The starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray,
Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. Listen now to the word of God. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith
so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God. Now, this passage that I just read is often quoted as the foundational scripture for homilies in weddings. I'm sure you know it. The couple is exhorted to remember what sincere love is as they embark on their marriage adventure together. However, this was originally spoken by the Apostle Paul to the newly developing church in Corinth. Not as a wedding homily, but as instruction for getting along and prioritizing good behavior in the church. We still need these instructions today, don't we? We might think we sincerely love one another, and we intend to do so as, quote, good Christians, but feeling sincere love and then showing it in action might be two different things. Now, one of my heroes who died recently was the good Bishop Desmond Tutu. A friend of mine, Reverend Phyllis Bird of the St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Nairobi, Kenya, was his secretary for a while when he traveled in the Sierra Leone evangelizing and teaching about the love of God and how to promote peace with one another. In his book titled The Rainbow People of God, The Making of a Peaceful Revolution, Bishop Tutu said this about love. Now we are supposed to be witnesses to the love of God. If you say to someone with your mouth, I love you, and then when the person is still smiling because you love them, you knock them on the head, your words and actions don't tally, he said. Then people will say, you are a hypocrite. And someone who is play-acting. And so also with our faith. He said, many people now say, oh, I don't go to church anymore. Have you seen how churchgoers behave? Have you seen how they quarrel? Have you seen how they backbite other people? Have you seen how jealous they are? We expect Christians to be people of a certain kind, he said. Not by what they say through their mouths, but by the kind of people they are. We expect Christians to reflect the character of Jesus Christ, to be gentle, not quarreling and gossipy. We expect Christians to be humble as Jesus was humble. We expect Christians to be peace-loving. We expect Christians to be caring. We expect Christians to be filled with love. We expect Christians to be people who forgive as Jesus forgave even those who nailed him to the cross. But we expect Christians also to be those who stand up for the truth, to witness to the faith by standing on the side of the poor and the hungry and the homeless. When that happens, then Christians are trustworthy, believable witnesses of the faith. That is the sincere love of God, to be humble, willing to give up power over others, loving our neighbors as equals. And remember, last week we sang, "They will know we are Christians by our love." That is the sincere love God wants us to show in our actions daily. Love in action. And now let's think about sincere love in the context of how we are loving our neighbors during this ongoing pandemic. Lauren Ryleford wrote an article in the Sojourners magazine about the trauma we are all experiencing in response to the COVID-19 infections and deaths. She said, "Our world was weary well before COVID-19 hit. Now things feel worse and are worse for so many. Part of why so many people are feeling hopeless is that their belief they are doing the right thing, taking all precautions necessary to decrease risk to self and to others, while witnessing others around them refusing to act with that same level of care. Getting vaccinated, boosted, and wearing masks to protect others and to hasten an end to waves of mass death should be basic responsibilities for people who claim to care for their neighbors. The frustration that some Christians are touting individual rights over the common good, coupled with the grief of witnessing and experiencing ongoing pandemic-related tragedies, that creates doubt in the promise and hope that God hears us and answers our prayers." She goes on to say, "This promise is echoed in Isaiah 43:2-4, which reads, 'Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight because I love you." Ryleford goes on to say, "As Christians, we look to this promise to sustain us when we feel like we are fighting against the world to survive. This promise is at the core of our faith. We believe in a God that is patient, kind, and loving, a God who sent us God's only Son to save our souls and equip us to build God's kingdom here on earth. Isaiah 43:2-4 is our guide for how we should uplift others, a call to action for Christians to govern ourselves accordingly. We are to care for our fellow humans because of their inherent dignity, as people precious in God's sight. Therefore, it injures us when we bear witness to the suffering of others during the pandemic, especially when that suffering has been exacerbated by other people of faith acting in a way that violates our shared moral, spiritual code. And now I am aware that there is real deep anger towards the unvaccinated who are perpetuating this pandemic longer than it needs to be. Some of the nurses and doctors in the hospital have said, and it was quoted in the paper on Saturday, that they are having problems not showing their anger with their patients who are very ill in the hospital because they come in not vaccinated. We start wondering whether the good we are scripturally called to do is worth it, especially when it feels impossible to protect the vulnerable, and least among us, when people won't wear masks or get the vaccine. I admit that I too have felt anger about my 2-year-old grandson getting COVID at his preschool in Southern California. And I was very upset along with my son when my 8-year-old grandson got COVID while visiting his cousin's family in Boston, who refused to wear their masks during their visit after Christmas, even though my son's family wore cloth masks with them on Christmas the whole time, it wasn't protection enough from Omicron. The article in Sojourners about the trauma from the pandemic said, "These things happening around us plant a seed of doubt that overtakes our hope in God's promise. This rupture in our belief system also induces a strong emotional and physical response that shows itself as many of the same symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, such as loss of sleep, racing thoughts, feelings of anger and irritation, and even avoiding places or people who remind you of your moral wound that you're carrying with you. So when your spirit is weary, the flesh does become weak. Anger is one of the first responses to fear. And now war with Russia might start. That just adds to everything else that we're thinking about. But rather than being angry, it is time to focus on healing ourselves and one another. Prioritize things that help you heal. Healing from trauma is difficult, and it's not a linear journey. It takes many fits and starts for a trauma survivor to feel safe and secure. It's also difficult to heal from trauma when you're still in the middle of it. While many are proclaiming that they are over it and they're burying their heads, the Omicron variant is still causing hospitals to operate above capacity, leaving many medically fragile people without the attention they need. We are still living through a collective trauma, but if we want to arrive at a place of hope, we must together as a community accept that we're living through trauma. And we must start on the work of repair of ourselves, others, and our community. Love is the answer, always. Be patient with one another. Love one another as Jesus loves you. We will survive. We have no power over the length of the pandemic, but we can trust in God. God's love heals. Amen.
You can't beat. is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the feast that frees us, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions.
This morning, we encourage you to go to our website at www.churchoftheroses.org and donate. We'd love to have your help keeping our roses blooming and all of our outreach programs growing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.